You know what time it is?
Is it time for a Hot Pocket? Is it?
It's time for the September Hot Pocket, Mops.
Oh, I'm so excited. I love a good Hot Pocket. I really do. Yeah, with a bit of cheese in there. So nice. Lovely. Mmm!
Different kind of Hot Pocket today.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. So what's new in the MRAP Nerve Center, my man?
Well, you know, it's all about the bringing on of EMA, which happens the 1st of October. So the teams are all getting their acts together. We've recorded it all. We're getting the websites laid down. It's exciting. And on September 22nd, Robbie, there's going to be a big live event that you can watch online that we bring in the old people and the young people. And we do a little event, a little thing, a little situation, as it were, for MRAP Live September 22nd. Be there or be not there.
What's going on with this? This is the first I'm hearing about this.
You got your Jerry Hoffman coming. You got your Rick Bucata coming. You got your Jan Schonberger coming. You got your Billy Malin coming. You got your Raman Tabba Tabai coming. You got your Mel Herbert coming. You got your Jess Mason coming. You got Ken Milne coming down from Canada. So yeah, we'll do a little bit of a couple of cases, and we'll talk about the management of a couple of cases from, say, 30 years ago, what did the old guys used to do, to what we do today, and look at some of the literature and about how things have changed, or in some cases, have not. There'll be video. There'll be audio. It's bigger than Ben-Hur's buttocks, Rob. You should be there.
So that's September 22nd. What time is that?
Starts at 5 o'clock Pacific time, goes for a couple of hours, and then we all go off and have dinner. And you can watch us eat dinner if you want. It's disgusting.
is that part of the whole thing?
It's part of the show. You can watch Billy Mallon pound a couple of beers and eat dinner. Disgusting. All right, Robbio, let's mix things up a little bit this month, and let's start off with a challenge coin.
This is a nomination from Dr. Salvatore Valente, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, who nominates, you ready for this, Melvis, the entire, hope we have enough coins, faculty and residents of UT Houston.
Wow.
I think we have some extra coins in the vault.
Dang.
I'm thinking. This is our first group nomination. So Salvatore is one of the chief residents at UT Houston and says, as I'm sure you know, Houston was struck by Hurricane Harvey hard. And the news is full of all the devastating stories of families losing their homes, entire neighborhoods underwater. True, what shocking images. So his residency covers two sites in Houston, LBJ Hospital, Lyndon B. Johnson Hospital, Memorial Hermann at Texas Medical Center. When the storm hit, LBJ Hospital was literally surrounded by water. And the team held down the fort for 4 straight days. And throughout that time, so they're just hunkered down, surrounded by water in the hospital. The residents took care of some pretty sick patients, multiple central lines, intubations, LPs, pericardiocentesis of an end-stage renal disease patient in tamponade, put in a pacemaker, heart block patient, fiber optic intubation of a burn patient. They even convinced a colorectal surgeon who had some neurosurgery experience to perform, hold on to your pants, Melvis, a burr hole in a rapidly expanding subdural hematoma.
Dang.
Because that county site had no neurosurgeon on call. It was kind of any port in a storm, so to speak, and no pun intended. As he goes on to say, I rest my case that the brain and the ass are connected, just like my grandma always told me.
They kept their sense of humor through it.
So he goes on and on and on about this, and it's more of the same, but absolutely amazing tales of humanity and dedication. This crew went above and beyond the call of duty with laser focus when patients needed it most. I'm wondering, actually, how these patients got to the ED. They must have been brought in by boat.
So, Salvatore and the University of Texas crew, challenge coins for everybody are on their way, I hope, if the box isn't empty. But they deserve them.
On to something not so sweet. A big story in the United States, besides the wildfires, besides the hurricanes, is the arrest of nurse Alex Wubbles. You may have heard about this story, Melvis. She's an ED nurse at University Hospital in Salt Lake City, and the police brought in an accident victim and wanted his blood drawn.
Yeah, this is pretty much your worst nightmare. So apparently the patient was burned and unconscious following a truck crash with a big explosion. And watching the video of this, she's on the speakerphone, the nurse, and from what you can guess, there's a hospital administrator or somebody there as well. The detective is right in front of her, and Nurse Warbles, I think it is, starts off by reading the hospital policy on obtaining blood samples for police enforcement for patients that are suspected to be under the influence. The three areas that a nurse is allowed to draw blood is if the patient is under arrest, if the patient consents, or if the police have a warrant. And none of those were present. And she's reading this off.
And here's audio taken from the video of the incident.
Brad, I'm just putting on speaker so you can... So
reading the hospital policy.
It says obtaining blood samples for police enforcement from patients suspected to be under the influence. Okay? This is something that you guys agree to with this hospital. The three things that allow us to do that are if you have an electronic warrant, patient consent, or patient under arrest, and neither of those things. The patient can't consent. He told me repeatedly that he doesn't have a warrant, and the patient is not under arrest. So I'm just trying to do what I'm supposed to do. That's all. So.
Okay, so I take it without those in place, I'm not going to get blood.
That's the detective responding to her.
Am I fair to surmise that?
Alex, you're not representing the person possible.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I have no idea why he's blaming me. I'm just representing.
Why are you blaming the messenger?
She has some back and forth with a hospital administrator over the speakerphone, and he asks the detective why he's blaming the messenger of the hospital policy.
She's the one that has told me no.
Yeah, but sir, you're making a huge mistake right now. Okay. Like, you're making a huge mistake because you're threatening a nurse.
Okay. No, we're done. We're done. You're under arrest. We're going. We're done.
Sir, I
have
to
go. Sir, I said we're done.
All right, lots of screaming, lots of yelling, very upsetting scene. I mean, essentially, it came to a climax when the detective asked her, without these things in place, like a warrant, or the patient's under arrest, or the patient consents, if she was going to decline to draw the blood, and she implies that she is not going to draw the blood, and then she is escorted out of the ED in handcuffs. Man, an absolutely horrific scene. And to follow up and get a little more detail on what we should do in this situation, here's Jess Mason.
Does this situation make you a bit uncomfortable? Does it? It should. It makes me uncomfortable because I can certainly relate to Nurse Wubbles and what she was doing, trying to protect her patient's best interest, trying to follow hospital policy. And at the same time, she is potentially getting herself into a lot of trouble, or at least a very scary situation. So, yikes. Rock and a hard place, that's for sure. Now, we interact with law enforcement all the time, and it's usually fine. Actually, it's usually really helpful. Sometimes law enforcement can offer a piece of history about a patient that the patient couldn't tell you or maybe didn't want to tell you, and that can really change your assessment of what's going on. And a lot of times, frankly, I feel a lot more comfortable having law enforcement in the room when I'm in close quarters with a patient who, I don't know, might be a violent criminal, and I have to lean in close and examine them. Yeah, it makes me feel good most of the time to have law enforcement in the room. But sometimes, like with anything, interactions go bad. And so because of that, I talked to my friend, Dr. Scott DeShields, who is an emergency physician at UCSF Fresno and also a Juris Doctorate, so he's a double doc. And I asked him what to do when situations like this come up, when we're asked to do something or being told to do something by law enforcement, and yet we don't feel like it's the right thing or it violates hospital policy.
So that is a state-to-state issue. There isn't a uniform answer on how those situations should be dealt with, but you probably, working in the ER long enough in your particular institution, kind of figure out what the process is in your hospital. In our hospital in California, someone brought in who's intoxicated and was driving and needs a legal blood draw. Most of the time, those happen outside of any physician interaction at all. They're brought into the hospital, they're sat down in a chair, someone comes by and draws the blood, and the officers take the blood and it goes to the lab. That's not something that often we are encountering, an officer requiring or requesting us to do something that we don't feel comfortable doing. That has happened to me one time as a resident. There was a patient brought in from the jail who the concern was he had stuffed something up his rear and there was drugs there and they wanted a doctor to go in and take it out. And they actually came in with a warrant saying, you are mandated by the judge to take this out. So if there's an instance where something just doesn't sound right and there's not a medical indication for you to do what they're asking you to do, talk to your counsel for the hospital, talk to your risk team. In the instance that I just explained as a resident, I was told to disobey the warrant and to not do the exam if there wasn't a medical reason for me to do the exam. I explained that to the officer and they took it at face value and left. I never heard any more of it. But If there's something that is part of your initial workup and they want evidence of this or that, that is something that you would normally do for the patient, by all means, that's something that you can comply with if you feel comfortable with doing so. If there's something that just doesn't seem right in your mind, then best thing to do is not to comply initially, get some more information and find out what your real requirements are.
Okay, but what do I do if this happens on my next shift to one of my nurses or one of my colleagues? What am I supposed to do? Well, Scott says, we actually have to look out for each other, right? I mean, it's the emergency department. There's no I in team. There's no I in emergency department. There's no I in nurse. There's no I in doctor.
There needs to be a team mentality approach here, where if you have someone that's going down with the ship and you see a nurse that's being railroaded against a policy or against kind of common sense, then you need to have other nurses, other leadership in the ER, the doctors, they need to step in and say, whoa, 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 wait a minute here, and kind of have your nurses back. I mean, these are the people that you're working alongside every single day, and you don't want to be exposing them to some sort of problem that you had the ability to interject and fix. So I would say, get involved and find out what the problem is and why there's this disagreement. And if you agree with the officers, then you maybe pull the nurse aside and say, hey, look, I think this is what we ought to do. And if you don't feel comfortable, then don't worry about it. We'll find someone else who can do it. And if this is the officer that's in the wrong, then you absolutely have that nurse's back and you kind of go to bat with them as well.
Now let's bring in our other legal expert from Supreme Court Briefing, Rich Orman, Esquire. One of the aspects of this case is that the detective said that the nurse was interfering or obstructing the active investigation, and he didn't have a warrant, but let's say for the sake of argument that he did have a warrant, the police do have a warrant, and they say, we have a warrant to carry out a cavity search or a blood draw in the emergency department. Are we obliged to carry that out? Let's say the patient doesn't consent or consents or cannot consent, but we're thinking, that's not medically necessary. I don't want to do that.
Are you obliged to let them do it? Or are you asking, are you obliged to actually do it yourself?
Let's break that down into two parts. Are we compelled to act on what that warrant says, or can we say no and not face any repercussions?
Well, I think that obviously anyone that should probably consult with the general counsel or attorney that works for their hospital or medical facility and seek independent legal advice, because you need independent legal advice on this. So generally, Rob, the rule is that the police cannot force you to assist them in investigation. So generally, the police can't say, hey, I need you to draw blood for me, or I need you to do this for me, I need you to do that for me. They might be able to say, hey, get out of the way, or something like, you know, if they're directing traffic, they can say, you have to move your car this way. But that's a little bit different than saying, you have to draw blood for me. So generally, the way I understand it is that the police can't force someone in a hospital or medical facility to do work for them to gather evidence. But on the other hand, if they have a search warrant, you can't stop them. You can't interfere with the police executing a search warrant, because that is a court order saying the police have the legal authority to go take evidence. You know, like a search warrant of a house is a court order to say the police can go into a house, when otherwise the police would be committing trespassing by just going into a house. You can't try to interfere with the police executing a court order. However, you know, maybe if it's going to actually kill a patient or something, there might be an exception to that. Search warrant may not be necessary. People have this idea that the police need a search warrant to do things like draw blood. Well, they very well may not. There may be some type of exigent circumstances. In the state that I live in, Colorado, the Supreme Court has held that the law says just by driving in the state of Colorado, you consent to have your blood drawn if the police have probable cause to believe that you have committed a certain type of offense, let's say vehicular homicide. You've killed someone or hurt someone seriously by driving drunk. The police can just take your blood under Colorado law. You have consented under Colorado law for that just by driving. That especially applies to unconscious drivers. So they may not need a warrant. So I don't think that medical professionals should be thinking that if they don't have a warrant, they definitely don't have a legal right to take the blood. That may not be the case, depending on what state you're in. But if they have a search warrant, you can't interfere with their execution of a search warrant unless you think it may be like it's actually harm your patient, in which case I, again, would consult with the lawyer that works for your hospital or hospital system.
All right, Melvis, some intense stuff and, you know, certainly an outlier, right, with how this all went down. You and I both have friends in law enforcement. They are dedicated, thoughtful. They do what's right, and we interact with police in the ED pretty much every shift, but sometimes things go sideways, just like things can go sideways in a resuscitation, the medical stuff we do. And I think having a plan, having some knowledge beforehand, never a bad thing.
Turns out that in emergency medicine, you not only have to know the medicine, but you really do have to be a bit of a legal expert, because this stuff comes up and you've just got to know about it. So it's very regional, but don't shy away from it. You got to know about it. And sometimes it can turn poopy pants like it did here.
So what are you up to the rest of the day, Melvis? What's going on?
A couple of big things going on. Got to prep to do some recording on EMA with Stuart Squadron. I've also got to watch 2 hours of an Apple event, and then I've got to buy stuff I don't really need because I have a problem, okay? And I'm seeing some people about it, but you know what's going to happen. I'm going to get a new iPhone. It's just going to happen.
Can I have your old one?
No, my son wants it. Sorry. I'm related to him. You're just some idiot I talk to on the microphone.
All right, my friend. Talk to you next month.
See you, peeps. Be safe out there.